Welcome back, fight fans, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ultimate MMA Podcast. What a week of MMA action we have had over the past week, and what a week we have in store. I'm your host, Jake Jones, and my co-host this week is a bit down in the dumps today after failing to secure the all-new Sony PlayStation 5. He's had a shocker, but alas, we are here to lift his spirits. It's our guy, Sean Gilley. How are you doing, mate?
Mate, I didn't know you were going to do that. Mate, I'm good. How are you, though?
All good, Mayan. Thank you, mate. Definitely things are looking upwards. But as I said, I'm sorry you're down in the dumps, because that is, I think that's the thing a lot of us in the UK have had a problem with at the moment. Most lads in the UK have been struggling to secure it, and we are one of them. But there is some good news your end. Your RDX sponsorship.
Oh, mate, I'm buzzing about that, yeah. So I applied, I was talking to RDX Sports over Twitter in January, and I thought, oh, they've just pied us off. So I got a message on WhatsApp saying, we'd love to sponsor you. We will send you a contract over as a sponsor athlete, and I was just shocked. So I'm happy that I got that first sponsorship deal, yeah.
Well, yeah, this is our guy. So any MMA fans out there, obviously, you will know RDX Sports, especially if you train and know them. Sean is now sponsored by them, so a good congratulations out to you there, mate.
Spot on, mate. Thank you.
Well, let's kick off the show. Let's delve into the depths of last week's MMA action. Similar to last week's podcast, we're going to shine on two earlier bouts on the night, which feature UK MMA stars, that being the performances of both Rhys McKee and Corey McKenna. But just to note, I'm not really looking at the opposition in these fights, as I just want to focus on the UK performances. We are a UK-based podcast, and you do want to shine light on them. But first things first, what did you think of Rhys's fight?
Mate, Rhys's fight was a strong fight. It kept on coming. Like, I didn't see one step back, I don't think. Like, he just stood there and bit down on that mouthpiece that he found after about 5 minutes. And he just stood there. He was there for a brawl. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, you shone on there about the mouthpiece. That was a weird situation to have, because we kind of thought, wow, that gives them both a break. They're both going very hard in this. They're both pushing for it. And the pressure was high.
Yeah.
But obviously, it didn't go Rhys's way. The one thing I would have liked to have seen as well is, I know Bisping and that they kept bringing in Trevor Whitman into the corner. So Justin Gaethje's head coach, one of the best coaches out there, one of the best striking coaches out there as well. And Trevor was saying, it's clear this guy's going to be a future talent. I would love to see McKee train under someone like Whitman. I really think that would improve his game. And I think once more, Whitman hit the nail on the head. He is a talent. He's going to be amazing for the future. Even his heart, you said it, coming forward the whole time, he's going to be brilliant. It's just that he needs that, probably that little bit better guidance and a little bit better to use that reach and to use the range he has and the skills he has to his advantage. I mean, because me and you were both messaging each other on the night, weren't we? Saying that Morono was bettering the lad and all around. I wouldn't say he was outclassing him, but he was definitely showing a different level to competition that Rhys hadn't faced before. I'm not discrediting Rhys's past opponents, but this was a very different fight to what McKee was used to. And I think Bisping put it right. He just went in there searching for that finish. He went in there excited and hot-headed, rushed in, and sadly, it didn't pull off for him.
Yeah,
I think there was one moment where Rhys had his time where he kicked Morono in the ribs, and you could tell that body kick hurt him.
Straight down, yeah.
Yeah, Morono backed off, and you thought, oh, yeah, he might be able to get the finish, but he just wasn't able to get the veteran out there. And in general, for me, he wasn't up to the task on the night, and that's once more not discrediting him. I really like Rhys. I think he's a top talent. I think he's got tons of potential. But for now, he has to bring us back, or potentially step back into cage drawers for a little bit to recoup himself, because it's clear that he's a future talent, but his ride in the UFC has not been it so far, and he now has maybe one or two fights left to really show why he's there. If not, he's going to really knock himself back. I think he needs to switch up his striking a bit. I notice a lot of his strikes seem to be overextending, and even some of them look to me more like a slap than an actual clean punch. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're throwing hard like this, but it lands soft, it just expends your energy and deals very little damage. Rhys needs to start utilising his range more, throwing down the middle and landing clean when he can.
His range is long. He should just pump that jab. Bisping was here, just pump the jab. He's got all that range. He should use it.
Well, I think that's what he needs to do. I think he needs to start racking up the points in a fight and start building momentum from there. If you're not going to win by a knockout, because everyone wants to finish, but then you can't rely on getting the finish. The best way, in my opinion, to start the fight, what I'll talk about later, a bit like Shevchenko for me, is be comfortable, get your rhythm going. Basically, start winning by points, and then if there's a finish available, get the finish. But if not, you've got to secure the win first and then go for the finish, not go for the finish to get the win, if that makes sense. There's some fighters who just rely too much on getting that KO, and that sometimes, I think, can be their downfall. I really hope they give him another chance. I've heard he's got one or two more fights on that contract, and I hope they don't cut early, and I hope they utilise these guys, because let's be honest, why would they cut him? Imagine an Irish card next year or a London card in the next 12 months. There's no way you don't whack guys on like McKee on the undercard to bring the fans in. So I still think he will get that one or two fights on his contract. But I do think he then needs to go in there a bit smarter, because he's a lovely lad. He's a brilliant fighter. He is going to be a future champ. But for me, against Chimaev, I understand why that was a really hard fight. Against Morono, I think McKee could have won that. I really do think that was in his grasps. But I think he fought the fight very wrong, and he's admitted that as well. And I think now he can't expect to get someone who starts getting him a win. As in, you know, sometimes like they get given a fight who is more favourable for you to get the win.
Yeah.
I don't think he can expect that. But I definitely think even if he gets a tough opponent, he needs to go in there and be like, this is why I was put in the UFC, and get the win.
Exactly.
Well, let's move on to our second bout of the evening. Corey McKenna, Wales' first female MMA fighter in the UFC, picking up a win in her Octagon debut. Can we get a bit of praise for this girl? 21 years old, setting records and beating tough opponents in Kay Hansen. I think the future is very, very bright for this young prospect. First off, I think the fight looked closer than it actually was. In the end, McKenna outstruck Hansen by 156 strikes to 87. Like, she nearly doubled her output. I'm not saying that strikes count for the entire fight, but I definitely think McKenna won the bout, and that says a lot about her as a fighter. That them stats say a lot. That said, a lot of people kind of felt that it could go either way, or kind of felt that maybe it was a bit favourable towards McKenna. But for me, if you're landing 156 strikes to 87, you are doing enough. That is a clear difference in striking. It's not like, say, 20 punches or 30. Said 156 to 87, nearly double. And they're both high figures. We saw Arlovski win last week on 34 strikes. Do you know what I mean? That's five times Arlovski's output. Give her some praise there. I mean, another thing I was glad to see is that Uriah Faber and Jack Mason were in her corner. And that brings two fantastic coaches together who provide very, very different experiences. Jack is the head coach of BKK of Chelmsford, or BKK Fighters, and coaches people like Arnold Allen, Corey McKenna and Lee Mitchell. They're all big UK stars. He's very experienced. He used to fight in cage warriors and Bellator, and is now becoming a very successful MMA coach and her head coach. And then you have Uriah Faber. I mean, what can you say about him? One of the greatest bantamweights of all time, and one of the pioneers of mixed martial arts itself. I know that McKenna has trained with the team at Team Alpha Male, and overall, she looks like she'd go far in the sport. I genuinely think she's going to be a great contender for the strawweight division. And with coaches like that behind her, I think she's got a very bright future. But let's move on to breaking down some fights, some each side of the fight now, where we move on to our co-main event of the evening. A fight that I cannot wait to get into. I cannot wait to pick this fight apart. I can't wait to spend loads of time talking about, well,
30 seconds.
Yeah. It's Chaos Bloody Williams. I mean, as I said, I wanted to talk loads about this fight, but what can you say about this 30 seconds? This man knocked out Abdul Razak Al-Hazan in 30 seconds from the start of the fight. It was terrifying. Literally, he went in there. I think it's a total of 5 strikes. Left Al-Hazan unconscious for a good minute or two afterwards with one solid right hand that landed and sent Al-Hazan stiff. What did you think?
Mate, like, I didn't even think. He literally just bump, and then I was just like, mm-hmm. It was out cold. I was like, whoa, like, he is the real deal. Like, yep. You see fighters who come in the UFC and win by sort of like takedown, but Chaos Williams is the real deal. He's proven it twice.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. What a performance! What a KO, literally cleaned him out. And it was just shocking how Al-Hazan fell and how powerful Chaos actually looks. We both kind of called it last week. I said Al-Hazan would do it, and you said Chaos would. But
I did as well.
But I did say that it would be under a minute. So if we combine both our predictions, We've got it pretty spot on.
He's trying to change it.
I mean, even last week, though, I never ruled out that Chaos could do it. And I said that I think both of these guys can knock them out in a minute. But for me, I genuinely thought Alizan would do it. And I was shocked. And when it happened, I would like to say that I'd have liked to have seen more from Alizan. But I really didn't. Like, that was scary to watch. And pretty much everything we could have asked for from Chaos. Like, people questioned if the first time was a fluke. I even said I hadn't seen enough from him. When you send people into orbit like that man did on the weekend, I don't need to say any more from him. It was spectacular. I also liked seeing some of his character come across. He was in some memes for the way that he began the fight, the stern-faced, stone-cold look that he gave. And then he delivered this fantastic line in the post-fight speech where he said, "People are going to keep sleeping on me, and a doctor's going to keep waking them up."
Yeah, I was meant that. I was like, oh,
exactly,
man.
That is one of them lines where you go, yes, yes, get that in my highlight reel. I like that a lot. I mean, it's not all about building character that kind of gets you into the UFC, but that's going to help you get some social media hype behind you. And if you can start backing them statements up, pretty much like McGregor did, you are going to go far. I mean, what is next for this guy then? I said it last week that I'd like to see these guys face a top 15 guy in the future. I might like to see these guys face the winner of Means and Perry this weekend.
Yeah.
That would be a really good fight. I think Chaos would do a very, very good matchup between them. But if not, I stand by the fact that I think he deserves top 15. Maybe give him one more fight before that. As I said, someone like Perry or Means. But if not, give him someone like Lawler or Neil Magny, a legend of the sport who's been in the UFC for ages, who I think one's ranked 8th, one's ranked 13th. I mean, they are legends, but they are also people that Chaos could definitely knock out. Mm-hmm. But they're also people that could drag Chaos into deep waters, cause him some issues, and expose him a bit. Either way, I'm just excited to see this man fight again at 11-1. I'm so sorry I ever doubted him. I mean, another thing that I wanted to note as well, how scary is this? This is the same weight as McKee was fighting at. So look at McKee and Morono, how these two struck. Like, McKee and Morono was a striking battle. It wasn't too much into grappling. And you kind of saw some power from them. But when you consider the power that Williams out gives, you think...
Scary.
Yeah,
scary,
that is absolutely terrifying to think they're the same weight. And as I said, if you want to start your UFC debut, right, do what Chaos Williams does. A 27 knockout of Morono and then 30-second knockout of Alhazan. That is a way to kickstart your career. Sorry, mate.
Just a shame on that. What weight's Chimaev?
170. Oh. Yeah, same division. Oh. Yeah, I believe so. Because obviously Chimaev, I believe, made his debut against Phillips at 185, but that he is actually sense. A 170 because he took it on late notice, I believe.
That makes sense. And like, obviously, we've got this Leon Edward fight, blah, blah, blah. But that actually makes sense. He's just won two fights in the UFC, Williams, so...
Yeah, exactly. And Chimaev has won three. I know Chimaev's like done it in very impressive fashion as well, but I do think Williams... I think you raise a good point there. Williams is 11-1, Chimaev's 9-0 now.
Ooh.
I mean, somewhere down the line, that's a nice fight to make. I know that Chimaev is likely going to really push into these rankings now, especially if he gets the win over Edwards. I mean, he shoots himself right up into the third spot, I think. But overall... I would like to see that fight as well. Give us what we want, Dana. Well, let's move on to our main event of the evening. A man came in, saved the day. The Irish Dragon, Paul Felder, came up short against the former champion, Rafael Dos Anjos. But we have to thank Paul Felder for taking this fight. Hats off to him. He had everything to lose and took out an unranked opponent. And got taken out, I guess, by an unranked opponent on just 5 days' notice. I mean, how can you not love this guy? As I said, he was ranked 6th in the ranking, 6th or 7th, and on 5 days' notice takes an unranked fighter just to save the day, really. He is a genuine top guy in the sport, and although he didn't pull off from on the night, I think he still deserves all the props he's going to get, and I think it proves that he is one of the legends that we have on the roster at the moment. I think he fought well. But overall, RDA was just the fitter, stronger, and better athlete on the night. Felder is tough, though. He also got that... There was talk about this idea of him having this signature spinning attack. And actually, you do notice it a lot now. When people mention that type of thing, you go, okay, I'll look out for it. literally in the first round, he landed a signature spinning elbow down to a T. It opened a nasty cut on RDA's head, and to be fair to him, he had his moments where he could have rallied a lot in the fight, but RDA was smart. He was constantly pushing for that takedown. I think it was 22 attempts made. Only 6 landed, but across 5 rounds, at least a takedown around. And then he just kept pushing that volume slightly further than Felder was able to. What did you think of the bout itself?
Poor Felder's got all my respect to go 5 rounds in 5 days against a former champion. That just says everything. Like, he... obviously, RDA was going to go for the takedown every time. That was his, like, strategy. You could see it. Before Paul Felder was just there to strike. And he actually really did good on both. He did good to get back up on his feet when he got taken down. And like you said, when RDA was coming in for them takedowns, Felder was going with them elbows. You see them? They were sharp, like...
Yeah, no, absolutely. I say you had a bit of a tangle with your words there, but we all do that. Genuinely, the amount of times I do that, mate, where like, I'm just trying to get one word out and I just can't do it, so I just start going, yep, dip, 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 and you think, I'm screwed with that one now. Well, I love the reaction as well for the judge that gave it to Paul. It was 50-45, 50-45, and then 48-47. You think, what? Where on earth did that come from? And even Felder kind of laughed about it. But also, another thing, that hats off to him again, I know we're talking a lot about Felder, despite the fact he didn't win it, was the fantastic message that he delivered after to the fighters who don't take weight cutting seriously enough, and made the point that if he can do it in 5 days, get your ass together, because you can do it in 6 weeks. Talking about 6, though, RDA is now joint 6th in the rankings, tied with Charles Oliveira, and I'm not sure if that's a mistake in the UFC, but regardless, he'll be 6th or 7th, and what a leap that is, unranked to 6th. What a way to chuck yourself back into the picture at £155, the former champion, literally kind of going from not really in the picture in the lightweight division at all, to instantly back in there, probably going to get a top fight. I mean, what is next for him? It's really nice to see that he's come back with a win, and hopefully can spice up the division a bit now. I would personally like to see him face either Dan Hooker or Tony Ferguson, as it means that he doesn't settle back in with wrestlers again, because that's what he was struggling with at £170. He was kind of being fed to the wolves there. But he got a great win over a top opponent, so give him a decent shot. I can also see them maybe trying to do Islam Makhachev into the picture again, run that back and try and boost him as a prospect, because I think he's, what, 18-1? I can understand why they would say no, RDA, you still have to have your matchup with Islam first. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think to push yourself into that picture is very, very impressive. And for me, I would like to see Hooker and Ferguson, because I think they both offer a main event spot for a fight night. And I think they're both fights that I'd absolutely love to see. Imagine that, RDA versus Tony Ferguson or RDA versus Dan Hooker. They're both brilliant fights, and they're both also good matchups in terms of their skill set. It's not like going to be a boring takedown fest the whole time. It's going to, both for me, will offer an electrifying fight, and I genuinely think it should be made. But for Paul, I'd also like to see him maybe face Benil Dariush next, or Donald Cerrone. Dariush is coming off a string of impressive victories and shares a very similar record at 19-4. I mean, since 2018, he's beaten 5 top guys, all prospects, with Thiago Moises, Drew Dober, Frank Camacho, Draco Closer, and Scott Holtzman all in there. They were all guys who were kind of like 13-1 records or similar to kind of that range of things. And he was putting them all out. They are all top guys for the future of the sport. And I think Dariush has proven that he's still one of the very best out there. And for me, Felder would be a great test. But what would be an even better matchup, in my opinion, would be that of Donald Cerrone. Donald's recently said that he's looking for a final run at lightweight before he calls it a day. And I mean, what a picture to introduce yourself to, and what a way to fast-track yourself up the polling position.
Two legends. Yeah, just to shine on that, RDA, this is a funny one, actually called out Michael Chandler on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before this fight happened with Felder. And to shine on that again, Michael Chandler says he's busy. He's got something already lined up.
Oh, see, you tickled me then, and then you teased us and then brought it away. Well, actually, see, you mentioned Chandler there. For me, that would have been actually a perfect fight.
Yeah.
Because he RDA doesn't necessarily deserve a top fight straight away, as in like one fight away from a title shot. But then the same with Chandler is that you can't really argue that he's going to get a title shot straight away, but you can argue that he's maybe two or three fights away, and the same goes with RDA. So that would have been a very, very nice matchup. And I think both would have really been put to the test. But if Chandler's saying that he's already got something going, that is very, very exciting, because it makes me think, surely that's either got to be Gaethje in there or someone like Hooker. I mean, I'm just going to look at the rankings now, because that has... Who's it there? So in lightweight, Gaethje's... I mean, McGregor-Poirier is already matched up. Ferguson, Hooker, or Gaethje are the only ones not matched up there. Ooh. I think it might be Ferguson. I could be wrong, but obviously because he hasn't had a matchup since Gaethje, I think they said that Gaethje was going to get the interim title shot anyway, because obviously Khabib relinquishing the title. Mm-hmm. So if Gaethje is going to be the next guy to go for the interim title, then I think it's probably going to be between Ferguson and Chandler who gives him the next shot.
Mm.
I think that might decide his opponent. But also, interestingly, do you not remember Ali Abdelaziz, so Khabib's manager, the other day, put 30-0?
30-0, yeah, on Twitter, yeah.
Ooh. Don't do that. I mean, I would actually, although I'd love to see that fight, I'd be a little bit annoyed if Chandler's coming off Bellator,
yeah,
a win against Benson Henderson, but then previously it was a loss to Pitbull. I would think that's a bit disappointing if he gets the title shot there, but still.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting turn of events. Nice little announcement. Chuck it right in there.
Both grapplers as well, Khabib and Chandler. Yeah. So that'd be a really good wrestling fight, to be honest.
It would be. Well, let's see where that leads to. Hopefully over the next few days we'll get an announcement. Just going back to Felder though, I really do think, regardless of who he gets next, whether it's Cerrone, whether it's Dariush, I think he's going to be paid handsomely for that fight. And I think it would be a main event on a fight night. And I think both guys will be wanting that. I think both of us, win or lose, will be deserving that as well. I really like Feld. I like what he stands for. I think he saved the day on the weekend, and we should thank him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is our review of last weekend's event complete. We move on to a preview of this weekend's UFC card, and once more, just a pre-note beforehand. Tonight, Bellator 253 goes down, and there are some fantastic matchups to keep an eye out for. JJ Wilson, Jaleel Willis, Rofion Stotts, Joey Davis, Benson Henderson, and of course AJ McKee versus Darion Caldwell are all set to feature in what should be a very exciting night of MMA. By the time this podcast comes out, these fights will have already happened. However, we have mentioned some of the best names there. Please go check out them, guys, because they are all incredible fighters. Only, I think, a couple of losses on each of their record and looking like top contenders in the sport. I was meant to mention it last week, but that Joey Davis... I said last week that I think he's an NCAA champion. Oh boy, is he. He is, I believe, the only one in history. He holds a record for being the only Division II champion or something like that to hold it four times or something in that region. That he is basically a very, very top wrestler in the sport and probably one of the biggest prospects. And he's 7-0 at the moment. If he goes 8-0 tonight, he might be another guy we have to keep an eye out for. But we have a great few UFC bouts to talk about for this weekend, and we are met with another numbered pay-per-view card as UFC 255 hits our screens on Saturday night. Now, we have a lot to get in for this fight, so let's waste no time. Four fight down the card, Caitlin Shukagin versus Cynthia Calvillo. Hopefully, the winner of this faces either the loser of the main event or Jessica Andrade somewhere down the line. I mean, what a wonderful picture we have in the women's flyweight division, as it looked a bit lackluster last year. And now we have some real standout fighters that have perked their way into the 125-pound division. Firstly, Chukagin is throwing herself right back into the bout after her last loss came just over 1 month ago to Jessica Andrade. And what a bout to throw yourself into. I mean, Chukagin was pretty much looking like she's going to get another title shot. And then, as I said, unfortunately, I think it was 32 days ago, loses to Andrade. Straight back 36 days later, goes in for another fight.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. I mean, what a way to kind of prove that you really do want to keep the streak going and get your shots rattling and that. Calvillo is a beast. She's used to fighting at strawweight. so that few extra pounds that she's going to be able to work with now and put great performances in with, she really is looking great. She put a brilliant fight in against Jessica Ai earlier in the year, and I think that's kind of just propelled herself into the rankings, where she currently sits fourth in the division. So her strawweight debut, flyweight debut, was against Ai, who had just competed for the title, and she goes in and beats her. So you can see why she's kind of in this picture already. Her only MMA loss comes to Carla Esparza, the former champion, and she's currently on a 4-fight undefeated streak. I mean, that is a very, very good little run. And Chookagian, on the other hand, she's just been bested by the former 115-pound champion, Jessica Andrade, but prior to this, she was one of the top fighters at 125 pounds, and proved this by decimating the current champion's sister, Antonina Shevchenko. That was a scary fight. I'm not saying Antonina is anywhere near what Valentina's at, but literally, you saw levels in the sport there. Chookagian just looked so, so good. She's fantastic, I think. She uses range so well. She utilises a fantastic sidekick, and all in all, she looks very good on the ground. She looks a very, 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 very solid all-around fighter. But it'll be an interesting matchup, because I clearly think that, in my opinion, Calvillo is the superior submission artist here. I think she's got much better Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I don't think Chookagian has bad Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think she's very much at the top of the level there as well. But I just think Calvillo is, that is what her bread and butter is. But then you've got someone like Chookagian, unorthodox, a unique fighter, and someone who can use range well. Especially, I mentioned earlier, Calvillo used to fight 115 pounds. She's now fighting someone who's very used to 125 pounds and is a lot taller. So it'll be very interesting to see how that goes. And for me, the winner of this should get Andrade or Maia. If Shevchenko loses, I think she's going to get the rematch straight away against Maia. But if Maia loses, I think one of these guys should face her, and Shevchenko versus Andrade should happen, and it should get out of the way. I think that's a brilliant matchup. I think that is a very much a pay-per-view matchup. And then for me, I think Maia versus either Chookagian or Calvillo would be a very, very good contender to set up the next person for the title shot, because it is a bit of a confusing picture, because all of these girls are very worthy of the title shot. But I have no doubt that we'll see Calvillo, Andrade, Chookagian all compete for the title with a win at some stage. It just really depends what happens with Maia this weekend, because you can't not give Shevchenko a rematch. But equally, Andrade, Calvillo, Chookagian, you can't say that they don't deserve a shot as well. What do you think about the fight?
Like you were saying, Chookagian's came off a loss. It was a bad stomach shot. And props to her, she's come straight back in. you wouldn't think about that, would you? Like I said, a month, and yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that, yeah, because I didn't think too much of when Chookagian would be coming back. I thought, yeah, she's taken a loss, she'll need to recoup herself. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a knockout, so it wasn't like she didn't go unconscious. She didn't have any suspension to deal with. But I think that kind of proves how hungry she is for all this. And I think it kind of shows that, like, she's probably quite disappointed with the loss to Andrade, because she quit. That is the base of it. She got hit with a body shot. She didn't like it. Because she literally, if you haven't seen the way the fight ends, she literally gets clipped with a perfect clean shot, but then kind of, like, turns around, shouts out in pain, like, walks away, and then Andrade just closes on her. And it was very, I'm not going to say unprofessional in a bad way, because that seems like it's like slating her, but it's more kind of like, it. You don't see that in a fight. You don't see people let their guard down that much.
To be honest, it's a bit odd. So if you watch our fight back, she sounded like she was in a lot of pain to come back after a month to fight again.
It's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our third fight of the evening, a classic test between the powerful striker and the experienced and collected veteran, Mike Perry taking on Tim Means. What do you think about this fight?
Yeah, I love Mike Perry. Not just his fighting, just everything about him. Like his social media. He wants Darren Till in his corner, man.
Wait, that would be hilarious. I mean, I do agree that he is one of the best poster people for the UFC. And don't get me wrong, he has a lot of controversies around him as well. But
yeah,
that's what I mean. I'm not saying a poster boy and like he's a role model. But there's no doubt that you want to see this guy fight. There's no doubt that he brings fans in, and I don't think you can be you can be hated for saying that. Now, this is the type of fight that makes you question the level of mixed martial artist that Mike Perry actually is. We all know he's a highlight. We all know his striking's heavy. But he has a few losses now to some fairly good matchups for him, and now he has another good fight booked in against a seasoned veteran in the UFC. Mm-hmm. Tim Means is a veteran of the sport, and is a guy who can always face adversity and usually come out on top. I mean, his last win was over Loreno Strappoli. That was a great unanimous decision victory over a young guy with a 9-2 record. Means is 30-12-1. So he has been around the block, and he's a very, very good fighter, and I think he's going to be a great test for Perry in the night. From these guys' previous fights, I see this going one of two ways.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
So, I know my calls aren't too great, but let's see. My two ways. I reckon we might see Means KO'd by... well, we saw him get KO'd in the past by Nico Price. A very similar fighter to Perry. They both got similar striking in the fact that they're hard, fast, and ruthless when coming forward. Now, I think it could be a very similar fight to that in the fact that Means might start well, pick Perry apart a little bit, and Perry needs to find his range. But then the moment Perry gets his groove going, I think he might be able to KO Means and run off with another highlight reel finish. But let's take a page out of Mike Perry's book and reference the fight with Cerrone. A fight where others thought Perry would KO Donald, and then he got exposed in the fight. He got caught in an armbar and submitted for the first time in his career. I think this is what we could see is either a fight where Means starts strong, Perry's kind of searching for that knockout, and then finally lands it. Like, just where, it's not like Means lets his guard down, but kind of, you know what I mean, just where this guy's coming forward to you this whole time in a fight, hitting you with heavy shots, and then one of them is able to land through, and then Perry get that finish. Or, as I said, Perry really searched for that knockout, Means able to kind of hurt him a couple of times and start bringing him down, let Perry use a lot of his energy, and then maybe submit him, or just grind it out for unanimous decision. Now, the one thing that I don't think is going to happen is I don't think Means is going to KO Perry, but what have my calls been like recently? That might go the other way.
Oh, I mean, I can't say that. I can't say that happening. Like,
and the reason I say that as well is because both these guys don't tend to mix up their fighting style too much, and I genuinely think for both of them it would be a smart move to watch their opponents' previous bouts, especially their losses, and mimic what happened on that fight. I don't see either guy changing their approaches, and I think that's what we've come to expect from both these seasoned UFC fighters. Pretty much go watch both of these guys' highlights of all their UFC fights. They are, I'm not going to say all the same, but they are very similar. Perry always comes out with heavy shots, and Means is a lot more of a, he's more in it for the long run, in about anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our co-main of the evening. The first of the flyweight title fights as Valentina Shevchenko takes on Jennifer Maia for the 125-pound title. I like this bout. I can't believe that I hadn't really caught on to this until a couple of weeks back. About 4 weeks ago on the show, I was saying that I want to see what happens to Shevchenko. Surely it confirms Shevchenko Andrade. No, Jennifer Myers confirmed with her. I mean, for me, this is a top fight, and it's a great test to put Shevchenko's GOAT status to the test. For me, she is genuinely brilliant. Like, all around, one of the best mixed martial artists that I've seen, and I think her skill set is very overlooked. Liam seems to think that Valentina will be the first of the UFC female champs to lose their title, and I really want to argue against this. I'm not saying she won't, but I think she sits at the top of that pedestal for a very long time. I just can't see anyone dominating her. I think it's hard too, because people always say that Shevchenko has been boring in her last few fights, playing it safe. But in my opinion, if you watch the fight, she's just so comfortable the whole time, and she's never chasing the win. Her skill set all around is absolutely amazing, and I think, why would she go out there and risk a loss by stepping outside her comfort zone? If you're good at something, flaunt it, and I think she does that so well. What do you think is going to happen in this bout, and what do you think about Shevchenko's kind of run at the moment?
I think the one thing that stands out from Valentina Shevchenko is a stance. She's got a put a mint stance, she bumps on that front leg, and she's like, I'm ready to come and kill you. She's like, I'm ready to come and kill you.
Absolutely.
And she is a beast. Like, I think she's going to be in there for the long run. I think she's going to be a champion for the long run.
We're going to have to get Leon on a show in a few weeks. And, well, let's hope that Shevchenko doesn't lose this weekend, because we'll get him on the show in a few weeks and we'll be like, oi, you, start agreeing with us now, matey. I mean, I'm excited to see her face Maya, because I think it's a great test of her grappling ability. I think that Maya's best chances are replicating the fight with Calderwood, stand up to the Muay Thai fighter, but then literally get her down as fast as possible and go for that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu submission that may force the champ to tap, because I don't see Maya dominating her. I just don't think anyone has dominated Shevchenko in the past. Even in her fights with Nunes, I still think they've been kind of close. For me, I'll draw this as a solid win for Shevchenko. I think the Shukagin fight is just a good example to draw from. Maya couldn't really do much in that fight, and Shukagin just managed to get the unanimous decision over her. And I think Shevchenko just exemplifies Shukagin's skill set in every department and is just better at it. I really do think it's a no-brainer, but as I said in the past, my calls have gone the other way.
No.
So, what I'm going to say, if we see the championship belt change hands this weekend, then you guys better come up here and thank me, because I did it for you, okay? I predicted Shevchenko to win so that Maya does it. No, as I said, I genuinely think it's going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. But for me, Shevchenko is going to win.
Yes, yeah.
Well, let's move on to our main event of the evening. Another controversial fight to talk about. I say controversial. One that's just going to be quite hard to call. What a fight it is. Tyson Figueiredo versus Alex Perez for the £125 UFC flyweight title. Figgy burst onto the scene last year and just spiced up this division and gave it everything that we and it needed. He put out Joseph Benavidez twice in a total of about 12 minutes. I mean, both these performances were absolutely brutal and told so much about the current champ. He was always known as this powerful striker in the smallest division there is, and in general, was seen as a guy who'd put on some fantastic displays. But then, he did take a disappointing loss to the former title challenger in Jussie Formiga. Another interesting thing to just note about that before we go on to talking more about Figueiredo, I believe Formiga has just been released by the UFC, which is a very, very interesting and almost controversial decision. That's what a lot of people have been questioning online. It doesn't really make sense. I think he's 23-7. Says he beat Figueiredo before. He's fought some of the very, very best. He's one of the flyweight vets. But I'm pretty sure I've heard news that Formiga has been released. So that's going to be an interesting one to talk about over the next few weeks. Let's get back into Figueiredo, though. He rolled on a 4-fight win streak together and then put two of the most dominant and scary displays that we have seen in the last few years against Benavidez. No one had submitted Benavidez prior to this. And I think that just said so much about Figueiredo. Not only that he was immense in the striking department, but then he proved his submission and grappling skills are very, very much up to the test. I mean, Alex Perez is a very well-rounded MMA fighter. He's got this shot after a very good run of wins against guys like Mark De La Rosa, Jordan Espinoza, and Jussie Formiga. Interestingly, he pretty much got the perfect hat-trick in those fights. One submission, one decision, one TKO victory. And I think that proves how good he is all around, but also how dangerous this guy could be for the champ. Because his last few fights have literally gone every way that you can win. I think, yeah, okay, that this does spice it up a little bit, because he's not that one-dimensional fighter that some people might think the flyweight division offers. I'd be very surprised in this fight, because in Perez's last fight was actually against Formiga. Formiga is the only guy to have beaten Figueiredo, and in that fight, Jussie was one of the flyweight division's biggest tests for most fighters. Perez went in there and almost made a bit of a joke of Formiga's striking ability. He beat him by leg kicks and just really put himself on a pedestal that made one hell of a statement and led to this shot. Another interesting thing I guess to talk about for this bout, it was originally scheduled to be Garbrandt, wasn't it? I mean, that was quite interesting for me that Cody Garbrandt was going to step down to £125, and he was already looking quite slim at £135. So you thought, oh, could he cut 10 more?
What do you think about that fight? That sounds like a good fight.
I would love to see Figgy versus Cody. I think that'd be a brilliant matchup between two top strikers. And I think either way, someone would get knocked out in that fight just because the way these guys fight. But I don't really. I mean, I know Garbrandt pulled out quite a while ago, so I'm not really sure what happened there, and I would have loved to see that. I do think Perez deserves a shot. I'm glad that he stepped in there. I'm glad that Figgy still gets to defend his title. But for me, in the future we should see Garbrandt or we should see Figueiredo go up to £135 and challenge there. Mm-hmm. If not, give it Garbrandt, because I genuinely think that is an absolute star of a fight. That is one of them bouts where you go, yeah, okay, this is one of either the fights of the year or at least one of them fights that's just going to get so many people in watching it. It's like Jones Cormier. Just, you know, them types of bouts where you just look at it and you go, I can't miss that.
I think you should put that in the Conor card.
God, that would be brilliant. I mean, if that could happen, UFC 257, that would be incredible. There's just one thing, I guess, more about this fight is this is still a great matchup. And for me, I think Figueiredo is going to get the victory. I think he's going to go 20-1. I think he has to be very careful. He's been beaten by a well-rounded guy before, and now he's going to face another guy on top form, a very well-rounded fighter in Perez, whose last win was against the only man to have beaten him. So for me, Figueiredo still gets it. I still think he gets the job done, but he does have to be more careful, because I think if anyone loses their title, I think it's in this fight. But I do have to remain and stand by it, that I think both champs remain champion. For me, it's and still. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm the same, and still Figueroa 19-1. You can't disagree with that record. Like, he's an animal for 56 kilo.
Yeah, oh, totally. I mean, yeah, that's another thing. Is I guess because of his last two wins against Benavidez, they were so clear cut. They were just so dominant, and that's what scares me. Is Perez is kind of, yes, Perez is young and does look a very, very good fighter. I still just think that if you can wipe out someone like Perez, not like Perez, sorry, like Benavidez, in that fashion, I mean, there's a scary kind of element to that where you think Benavidez was one of the best of the best in the division. Other than Cejudo and Demetrius Johnson, I genuinely think Benavidez, was that top three. And Figueiredo went in there and KO'd him once, clean. And then the second time was obviously pretty much a KO. I know it was a submission win, but he knocked him down like three times and it was just terrifying. And so the only other thing I guess could change that is just that Perez is younger than Benavidez.
Yeah.
Perez is 28, Benavidez I think is 36. So you can kind of see that maybe Perez offers a bit more of a freshness to the fight. But I think Benavidez was the best well-rounded test for Figueiredo, and he came out on top. So it'll be very interesting to see. Now, that is all of our previews and reviews completed. We've just got a few fight announcements to make, and we've mentioned it a second ago. Poirier versus McGregor has been announced for January the 23rd, UFC 257. What do you think about this fight, man?
About time. You know, I mean, like, exactly. Everyone's like on social media, about time someone signed the contract. If you sign the contract, I'll sign the contract. And we've seen that before with fighters, and then Dana White's coming out and saying, well, they haven't signed the contract, but they're tweeting saying, we've signed the contract. You know what I mean? So it is about time. It is a good rematch. McGregor had a first. To know what your prediction is going to be for this fight.
For me, it's very, very hard because Poirier has come on leaps and bounds since the first McGregor fight. I think this fight needed to happen anyway because I genuinely think this determines the next person for the title shot. I think these two are the most deserving for the title shot after Poirier's fight with Hooker just proves that he is still one of the best strikers out there. It's a really hard one because I'd have liked this to have been the title fight. I think Gaethje probably still does get the interim shot. So I guess that maybe even the winner of this is the guy who gets Gaethje. I personally think that McGregor does it again. I think that Poirier is an immense striker, and I think all around his game has come over better. Mm-hmm. But I think you saw it in the Hooker fight. It was an awesome matchup there. And yes, Poirier was never put out, but there was a few times where Hooker did rally. And I do think McGregor's got that slick power and accuracy that can put someone like that out. Mm-hmm. And I just can see that happening. I can see McGregor putting out Cerrone and then putting out Poirier and then going for another title shot. I really do think that could happen. But I would never mind seeing Poirier picking up the win. Poirier is one of my all-time favourites. And if anyone would knock out McGregor, I think Poirier or Gaethje both have that power to do it. What do you think?
Opposite.
Yeah.
Completely opposite. I'm going to go with Poirier. I think this rematch has haunted him. I mean, the loss to McGregor has haunted him for a while, mm-hmm. and he's been wanting this rematch for a long time. And I think, like you were saying, Poirier's came a long way since our first McGregor fight.
Absolutely.
And strength and ability against Hooker, wow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
And he's a Brazilian black jiu-jitsu black belt as well, so I can see this going all round. I reckon Poirier wins either by knockout or submission.
Ooh, finishes the fight. That would be very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I could see that happening as well. I know that we saw, obviously, McGregor get clipped by Khabib. So mm-hmm. if Poirier could do that and then land a guillotine in there, or... Well, because he kept guillotining Khabib as well. So if he could do something similar to that to McGregor, we might see McGregor tap. Mm-hmm. But I think either way, it is a top fight. And what a way to kick off 2021. Now, just two more announcements to talk about. Number one, Anderson Silva, it appears, has been released today or retired from the UFC today. I know a lot of different outlets are saying, some are saying released, some are saying that Dana White's officially said that it's not released, he's just retired. I mean, I don't really know which way to go with that because... Silva, you were saying earlier, Silva said he didn't want to retire, so why would Dana say that it is a retirement? But equally, we know that Dana said in the press conference that it would be disgusting, was his exact words, if anyone else let Silva fight again. So I personally think probably the UFC have said, look, you're not going to get another fight with us, it's better to retire. And Anderson going, well, I'm not going to retire, but yeah, that's fine. If I'm not going to get another fight with you, that's okay. And then the UFC going, cool, so you're retired? Yeah, sick. genuinely, I think that's probably the way it's gone. I think maybe Dane has twisted the words a little bit there. But if not, I mean, the main thing to say is just that that is a legend out of the sport today. I would still like to see him take on one more fight or like a legacy fight. But overall, that seems to be some big news that we couldn't have missed on the show. Another one, you mentioned it to me. Kazmat Chimaev has officially entered the UFC rankings at 15th. Me and you, I think we both have some fairly strong opinions on it. I'll kickstart that, is that people are going to think I hate Chimaev. I don't hate Chimaev. I think he's a phenomenal athlete, but I don't think he deserves to be 15th in ranking. I think he's kind of swept in there, and I don't think he deserves this fight with Leon Edwards. I think he is a brilliant top fighter. I think breaking that record of 10 fight turnaround and then beating someone like Mershaw, I do think he deserves to start getting some really decent shots. But we compared it earlier to Chaos Williams. Yeah. Chaos Williams has come in there 11-1 and knocked out two people in scary fashion. Why aren't you giving him this type of shot? I think Chimaev just has that hype behind him and that marketability that they want to push. And for me, it does Leon Edwards very dirty. I know that Edwards probably hasn't been the best guy to deal with in the UFC. He's been very hard to negotiate with. But when you're on an 8-fight win streak and you're third in the rankings, and then you get given a guy on a 3-fight win streak who isn't in the rankings, I think, that's a bit cheeky, and that is pushing a fighter to their limit. I think, upsettingly as well, I think if Chimaev wins that, he really does kind of put himself in a good seed for a title shot. But for me, just look at who Chimaev's beaten. You've got John Phillips, Rhys McKee, Gerard Mershaw. John Phillips is pretty much known as this hard-hitting guy who, if you take him down, he's lost the fight. His wrestling and grappling isn't very good at all. Rhys McKee, as I said, Chimaev was just so much bigger than him, could get him out there in a round. And then knocking out Mershart with a punch, great punch. I don't deny that. But I do think that it was a little bit, once more, just favourable for Chimaev. I think it was a decent fight for him. But then take Leon Edwards' last four opponents. Leon Edwards is 18-3 overall on an 8-fight win streak. He beat Peter Sobotta, which was a decent fight, and that was in literally the last minute of a 3-round fight. Of a 3-round fight. But then you beat Donald Cerrone in the main event. Then you beat Gunnar Nelson in the co-main event in London. And then Rafael Dos Anjos, the former champion at lightweight, in a main event bout as well. I get that was over a year and a half ago, or nearly a year and a half ago, but still, I do think that Cerrone, Nelson, Dos Anjos is a much better streak of opponents than Phillips, McKee, and Mershart. I don't think that... I really do like Chimaev. I do think he's going to be probably the future champ. I do think he's going to cause a lot of problems, but I don't think he deserves to get a shot at a third or fourth rank opponent.
Yeah, it actually... It pisses us off.
Oh no, I totally agree.
You know what I mean? Like, Leon Edwards is a high ranked deployment like fighter. I think he should have had like Jose Masvidal. Now he's fighting someone who just came out of the UFC.
Mate, how good would Masvidal? That would have been a genuinely incredible top level fight. That's the fight that I wanted to see.
That speaks volumes more than this fight, yeah.
Well, of course it does. And I know you've got Gilbert Burns in there as well, but this is what I mean. Who does Chimaev get next then? Does he get Colby? Does he get Burns? If he beats Edwards, he's third in the ranking. Who does he get? Because surely you cannot offer him a title shot. Jesus. Maybe they give him Usman. But like for me, you just kind of look at that and you go, well, what, you've had four fights in the UFC, three of those unranked and relatively not very well known. Even though Mershot is obviously a veteran, he's not in title contention. He's not in the top 15. You can't say that that's where he deserves to be. But as I said, people are going to think I hate Chimaev. Statement out there, I do not hate him. I really like him. I think he's going to be a really good guy for the sport. I just don't like the politics behind him. And I genuinely think that they're doing Edwards dirty here. And I'll be rooting for our English guy here because I want him to win. I think he deserves to be where he is. And let's hope that that's where he goes to. For now, that is all we have time for. Thank you guys for tuning into the Ultimate MMA podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to us. And be sure to tune in next week where we'll recap the results of this weekend's card and then preview the next card, which takes place on Saturday the 29th, where heavyweights collide as Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis finally face off, which has been a matchup that has been in a long time coming, in my opinion. I want to see that fight before these two last had their fight. I think one of them fought Volkov recently, and I can't remember who Lewis fought, but I want to see Blaydes versus Lewis for a long time, and I'm glad it has been finally made. I've been your host, Jake Jones, and I want to say a massive thank you to my co-host, Sean, for returning to the show this week, being your usual fantastic self. And I know you were down, but hopefully this has cheered you up a bit.
I'm happy as hell now. Yeah, definitely.
Well, this is what the show's here for, but thank you so much, mate. I really do appreciate it. Anyone out there listening, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to us and give us any feedback that you'd like for the podcast. And let us know which people you'd like me, Sean, and Liam to speak to over the next few weeks. Me, Sean, and Liam will hopefully be doing a show with all three of us on at some stage in December. So look out for that as well. Thank you guys and take care.